December 20th, 2009, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back.
Bob from Pedro Show. Hold on there, Dot. It's special birthday edition. I turned 52 today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, here, Brother Matt, get on the mic.
Cool.
And we got some guests here.
Welcome.
Skipper Jeff and Buddy Todd.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I did my first pedal as a 52-year-old. I had to use the bike I got Frankless on because I was coming up the hill Friday with, you know, my eight-pinger dealio. In the seat that holds you by the bun. And I snapped the ankle.
Wow.
Axle.
Ankle. That would be good.
That would have been my ankle. And actually, the Baron went. And then when the wheel came down on the axle, it snapped that. I've done it a couple times. It's a problem of having my bike by salt air.
Yeah.
Corrodes things. I've had spokes pop. Oh. And we should say, we started off the show with John Coltrane's Sonship, then we heard the Sick of War Train by Sigodi. Now, Sigodi's got Andrea and Jacobo from Florence. They were on last week's show, or the last Lot from Pedro show, which I did live from Florence. Well, actually, it was Nipponizza. What was the name of the town? A small little village in Tuscany, a little bit north of Florence.
See, a bitch and journey, though, huh?
You're making me hungry. You say Tuscany. Oh, he was eating.
Yeah. Nipozzano. Okay, it was an old country house, Tuscany. Yeah, I remember one time we played a gig in near Ravenna. Ganda, I think it was called. Ganda. And the castle was actually from, we were talking about, listeners, we were talking about Divine Comedy, but I actually played in the castle where the real Francesca and Paolo from Canto 7 in Inferno lived. Huh. And looking out the window, and looking at the land, it's the backgrounds of all these paintings, these Renaissance paintings. Wow. And this is how it was like in Tuscany. Even when it was raining. But, man, I mean, it was amazing. It was so beautiful. And this old pad that they lived in had a big-ass kitchen. Big thick walls. Downstairs they had their little prac pad studio, and then upstairs had the big kitchen. And I mean, that whole trip was fucking one great chow after another. And it's not just chow pads. I mean, the dudes cook. Like Andrea and Jacobo was cooking up the chow while we were doing the show. Andrea. The popular name, same as Stefano, because I met a lot of Stefanos, but Andrea and Stefano Palia and Andrea Belfi were the guys I played with, musicians. They cooked for me a bunch of times, too. When we did a practice outside Bologna, a little town, it was in like the county, you'd call it, maybe, of San Pietro, which is San Pedro. And Palesso, I think, is the little village. And then it was an old pad, you know, a couple hundred years old. And we didn't want to stop to go to chow pad, so they cooked right there.
Cool.
And, you know, pasta every day, along with other stuff. And I only had one lane chow the whole time, the whole 2 weeks I was there. At a gas station, they had one of these sandwiches in the white plastic things. Uh-huh. You know, like we got. Uh-huh. I was wondering if they were just as shitty. Because all the other chow tasted so fucking good. I was like, man, did they solve this? No. Motherfucker was probably made last year or something. You know, it was tuna. And it was bunk. So I had one shitty thing. And I ate a bunch of potatoes to try to wash the fucking taste out. Because it was bad.
Research.
Yeah. It's not like they're incapable of having bad chow. But all the other ones they had was righteous, especially cooked by the brother, Fratellis. That's how you say brothers.
Good, solid,
guys. And I think the peasant child. Remember, we were talking to the Sicilian guy outside the club last night. When the immigrants came over here, they were very poor people, and that we're kind of eating their style. Over there, they don't eat like American style Italian. Italian style, and it's lighter.
Regional.
It's not like 5 pounds of meat, and it's it's regional. Yeah, but everything's lighter and more delicate on the taste and not piled on. The crust of the pizza is very thin. The pizzas don't have a lot of topping. Sometimes no tomato sauce. You know, sometimes no cheese.
Yeah, olive oil and based on tomatoes.
Some all kinds of different things, but it's just more that kind of thing. It's really good. I mean, and you're right about the regional. They're different things,
sure.
But there's something about just Italian chow.
A lot of good game meat I hear. Tuscany area, in the surrounding.
Rabbit. Food. I know they used to eat rabbit.
Yeah. A lot of stock.
But I didn't have that. I had
organ meat.
They're telling me about some trippy things. There's some cheese in Sardinia that's still got the larva eating on it. While you're eating on it.
I've got good Russian friends.
I mean, but I think every place has that. And I didn't eat any of that. I just had regular chow. I mean, there was some McDonald's and stuff, but I didn't go to any of that. I went to the little trattoria, right, or little chow pad, pizzeria or whatever, and fucking kind chow. Even in Roma, I had there was a doner kebab. There was some Turk cats, right?
I know.
And I've eaten that chow so much in Europe, I was wondering, I wonder what it's like here, because I never had them in Italy. And it's even that, it wasn't exactly like one you would get in Germany. It had an Italian kind of angle on it. So the chow thing was pretty intense. But you got to kind of not think so much. Well, the U.S. Italian chow is good, too, but it's different. Just like probably I ain't a chow in China yet, but I can imagine that being a lot different than Chinese chow here.
Yeah.
In fact, Jason Ho took me his place in Alhambra.
Yeah, Alhambra Chinese food.
Monterey Park,
yeah,
right?
It's real deal.
Montebello.
There's more Chinese people there any place outside
it's
of China.
It's the, and they're immigrant. It's not some touristy little thing.
Right.
These are people who actually.
Great food.
So their chow pad, and there's some intense chow.
Yeah. They go down to
it ain't chop suey in Chow Mein.
Garden Grove to Little Saigon,
Westminster.
Westminster,
This is up by the I-10 and the I-710.
Yeah.
Right around Phil Spector's path.
Then
you know about that. There's a big immigrant.
Monterey Park, Alhambra.
Jason Ho took me down there, and I had the big intestines with the blood vessel and things.
How'd you like it?
I kind of liked it, but it's different, And the same with the Italian chow, too. It's going to be different. And not as... earthy is the China chow, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that stuff you're talking about, the weird game and stuff, was in older days.
Well, I know there's restaurants that...
But they're specializing in a traditional
thing.
In the game.
It's more in the mountains, surrounding. Out of Tuscany proper.
Let you hunt your own.
Tuscany is Siena and Florence. Okay? And the Bologna is the Emilia. It's got two names. Huh?
Anna Maria Alberghetti.
Camille Romagna.
It was almost three.
you let me, I'll help you. Camille Romagna, okay? And then, it's lame because I'm on the radio. I don't want to give bad information. It's hard for me to remember. Umbria is where Roma is. They have a kind of, I don't know politically how they do things, but there's the regiones, kind of maybe like states.
Uh-huh.
And under there, there's commune, which is kind of a city or a county,
community.
Maybe it's county. And then under there, you got the città, which is a city. Huh. And maybe, I think that's how they delegated up. The Republic of Italy isn't that old, really. It's 120 years.
Have you hit Sardinia?
No, I want to. And a guy out in Roma, another Andrea. I ran into Andrea and Stefano a lot. These names, very popular, all cool people. That was such an experience for me. For the music, he said first Pope. So you're going to run into that name a lot.
Yeah.
Well, how about Pope Shlomo the very first.
No, Peter. So with this town here that me and Brother Matt live in. And Skipper Jeff. You ain't Pedro, right?
No, I'm Temple
City. He loves it
Temple
here,
though. City. I love it here, man. I live at Transpo.
Temple City. So you came for the weekend because you were at the gig last night. I played Harold's last night. Anyway, I should get back to the tag thing. So we did the interview, and I wanted to play a bunch of music, but this guy, the spiel was so interesting. Let these guys go. It was, huh?
I enjoyed
it. They're very
the
passionate
of it.
About the music. I was asking, well, so what's the scene like? And I don't call it a scene.
One thing
it's
I noticed,
a family.
They were kind of
they're kind of like a family, they're ideals are really strong.
Yeah.
These are like not careering merch guys. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, like you were talking about the political structure, and you get into those areas and there's a city fathers. There's always a council of elders, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if you're getting on this. Why don't you sit next
to me? I'll probably be all right. I got a loud voice.
No, but you're on the other side of the mic there. This is fun.
Yeah. I'm shy, and this technology scares me.
So you're talking about the city fathers?
Yeah, you know, like when you get into the smaller burgs and the villages, don't they all have pretty much a council of city elders? And, you know, it's like the Chamber of Commerce here, but it's the movers and shakers in the village, you know.
Yeah, but I think these cats here taught us. They had stories about coming across the border from Bulgaria into Macedonia during the war and the guy putting the bazooka in.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And but they wanted to do the gig, and the cat in Skopje wanted the gig to happen because he thought if he could play a gig, get off the war trip and get people calmer. So the gig had to happen even though the war was going on at the time.
Didn't the soldier?
So I think these guys... Now, some things do go through. Like, the whole reason for my trip was first festival put on Chisena. And that was with the city money. They put up monies to do public art, right? I think maybe U.S. is starting to do that a little bit. NEA, right? Something like that. National Endowment for the Arts or something. But they go, you're right. It goes down to the local level. And I've played things like street fairs, and they're kind of put on by towns and stuff like that. Yeah. U.S. has a little
bit. So many saints festivals, you know.
But they have long, but not just Italy. All Europe really supports the public arts.
Yeah.
And so that's what started this trip off. And I went there and played this thing called the Collateral Festival in Cesena. And then, put five other gigs around it and make an album. But the album thing was interesting because the man got sick. His nickname was Burro. Burro got sick. We couldn't do the recording at his pad, but they found one up there in Varessa, near Varessa. You could see the Swiss Alps. It was way in the north. And the thing came through, man. And a great community of music people there, and I'm glad they got to speak on the radio. To tell some people about their things. Yeah. Because I don't think a lot in the U.S. we really know about Italian music scene.
Yeah.
We got some stereotypes and some kind of corny things that aren't really, accurate about what's really going on there.
Now, was that, by any chance, it's a jazz-oriented festival at all?
Collateral? They have all kinds.
Yeah.
They have all kinds.
You know what?
Artistic
I heard
stuff.
I heard the man on the jazz station, Long Beach State.
Okay.
And who organized that? I had no idea, stuff of your gristle was going to be on the bill.
Gristle?
Yeah. Well, they're pretty open-minded kind of thing. You know, Banyan in 2005, we played Monterey Jazz Festival.
Well, my brother saw you backstage.
Yeah, okay. And, the boss was way into it, but there's a lot of cats in sweaters sitting there like, whoa, what the fuck is this? Yeah. We went on right after John Scofield. I think music's getting more and more, the marketing people would rather have it all confined into genre. But if you really get to it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You should be shit about it.
You played a track, right? A demo track? Was that from what you did with them at the beginning of that last podcast?
Yeah, well, that's when.
That was great, man.
Stefano, sent me a song of him playing guitar, and there was no drums from Andrea. He had drums, and he had some guitar and stuff on it. And working from demos is trippy, but especially this one, it didn't have any, I didn't know where the drums were going to be, so I ended up doing like one big fucking long bass solo for 5 minutes.
I liked it, and you definitely, I recognize
they were into
you.
It too, because when we went to record the thing, they say, go for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew you were.
I didn't know what the drums. I didn't know what the beats were. You know.
Yeah. Well, I like what I heard, man.
Probably beats.
Damn, they were beautiful guys. You know. Very lucky. A lot of times in music. And I rolled with them like Second Man or Missing Man tour. It was just us three in the boat. In fact, the boat thing was... There's a diary up on the Hoop page if you want to read this day by day. But we were going to get this big-ass boat. And some clown promised Andre, and he lives up in Verona. And it wasn't up to certified, right? It wasn't safe enough. So you got to have them inspect it, right? Didn't pass. There's states in the U.S. are like that. You don't have this inspection stick. Cali don't. I think Cali just has to roll.
I hear
doesn't even have to stop, you know. So, ended up having to borrow his pop's little... Yeah, they love this. It's a Fiat, you know. And I said, oh, you know Fiat, huh? Fix it again, Tony.
No. Come on.
Fix it again, Tony. All the you didn't have to fix this again, no. This is great running car and stuff. That was from cars in the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
I remember my pop got one.
X19, man. A buddy of mine was always working on one of those, and he kept blowing ether into the carburetor one time, and we were roommates, and he comes back into the house, and half his mustache was burned off.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and a lot of that...
He was always out of the mouth.
Fiat, man. It's like, it was a fun car to drive. X19, a little wedge.
They had a Spider 2 and 800 with a motorcycle motor.
Yeah.
40,000 miles and melted up. My pop had one in the 60s. It was like a Braj.
Yeah, a lot of that
but,
is...
But come on, they were like the biggest truck manufacturer. Maybe they still are.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the Fiats and the English
didn't
cars.
They save somebody? GM or... he did a marriage with somebody. Chrysler?
Chrysler. Yeah. Diamond, I don't know what Daimler. The heck's going on there.
Well, so
Saab's going
German
out of
business. Daimler.
Again, Iacocca.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't get them onto that. I hipped them to a bunch of... They weren't aware of a lot of the pejoratives about, like, Guidos. They didn't know about that. Guido, yeah, it's a name. Yeah.
That's the name of the service guy in the movie kind of Cars. Yeah, Guido.
No, Guido's a generic term for an Italian guy.
I know, but
guy,
in the movie Cars...
But they didn't know about this.
Oh, but there's a lot of Jersey kids wear it like a badge. They don't say that
it's
anything degenerate about it.
It don't even have to be really bad, but it's just, like, kind of...
I saw two of them on Conan O'Brien or something the other night, and you know, he goes by the name Guido, and she's a Guidette, you know, and they got their, you know, they're like, you know, computer stars.
Oh wow,
maybe it's
yeah, but these cats, they weren't really hip to that stuff. They've been in the U.S. a couple times and stuff, but I hipped them to some stereotype Italiano things, and they just thought it was funny.
Yeah, they had a good sense of humor.
They're great cats,
very intelligent,
great cats,
30s, you know.
31.
Yeah.
I was 20 years.
Yeah. And it just.
No, 30. You're right.
They got
both were 30 years old.
Music, all of them.
I think Jacopo and Andrea, the Sugoti guys, were more like 34, 35.
Mm-hmm.
They're more in the mid 30s. But they're still.
In their
prime. Everybody I fucking met was so fucking happening.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful trip for me. And like I said, the chow was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the weather, though, the one thing, the weather was, Roma had sun, but the rest, you know, was end of November, so there was some rain.
Yeah, and don't stop at the stop signs, right? You didn't talk about that.
It's just, well, things have changed. I mean, it's still wild. The guy's getting the lane with you, but I remember Stefano tells me, traffic lights, only a suggestion. But, you know, because of the EU.
Well, you got an Italian woman to look at while driving.
Man, look, you know what? I've seen a lot more wrecks in Germany.
Well,
because even with that crazy driving, they ain't speeding so bad.
It's just the wrecks are worse.
Germany, the Autobahn, they're going so fast that the consequences.
Yeah, the wrecks are worse when they happen.
Yeah,
but
right.
They have a pretty good, I think, frequency record.
Yeah, maybe U.S. worse.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They I don't know,
go
you know.
Through driver's ed on the track.
When you
right?
get into this thing of better and worse, I think you're really hitting in a weird kind of value
apples
trip.
And oranges, man.
I think you just. You,
it's just different.
Yeah. And also, there's a lot in common.
Well,
they just have a little. Yeah.
You know, they say the Autobahn thing works for them, but it wouldn't work anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like going there
for several reasons.
You like, work out like Wyoming in that land or something, too. You know.
It was interesting. In Italy, they're Autostradas, and they're owned. What's that company? Bennington. Yeah, Andrea was telling me.
They make flannels.
Yeah, right. They make all kinds of things, but they make clothes. Yeah, and they own some of those Autostradas, and some of those tolls were intense. Go to Bologna, to Roma, maybe $25.
Wow.
$27.
What ride is that? How many hours?
About four.
Well,
yeah.
Beer.
Bologna's kind of in the middle.
Thank you, man.
So it was a great trip for me, man. And they got it together for me and said, come on.
I got to travel, man.
It was wild. And now a week from Tuesday, I go to
Japan?
Tokyo.
Cool.
Yeah. I play New Year's Eve and then do an album.
Bring me a Hello Kitty, Mike.
With folks, I'm, no, I like Rirak Kuma. I really don't like the Hello Kitty shit. I'm way into Rirak Kuma, though. I love that story, you know, just wants to fucking relax, the relaxed bear. Mm. Lives in an apartment with office lady. It was invented by a woman. Hello Kitty, you know, I don't know.
Well, you were ranting about it before we went on the air. That's why
I don't dig it. But they can have it. I mean, I got too much to do to start running countries. Songs to write and shit. So.
I had a nightmare about a Pokemon character the other night, man. It was up against the wall. His tongue was going brrr, brrr. I don't know what it means, but Hello Kitty never scared me. That was something scared me.
They creep me out.
Like the Snuggle Bear, I'm telling you.
Yeah, okay. So then I'm going to make an album with Nels Klein.
Cool.
The brother, sister, daughter in... I'm going to get to play with Nels Klein tonight.
Right,
I get to have a birthday gig. And Prospector, Long Beach.
Cool.
And Nels got a new duet with Yuka Honda.
Awesome.
He's such a monster.
And then there's a trio before, Motoko Honda, yeah, Joe cool. Berardi, Keel Griffin. So, man, my last year birthday was in Tokyo. I think the year before, number 50 was in Long Beach at the Piazzas with Banyan. The birthday thing. 52 is heavy on me, though, because that's the year my pop died. And the cancer just whooped on him 9 months. So maybe if I can make it to 53, I'll be a little calmer. But this is a heavy year for me. I don't know why I have this scaredness of it.
Well, I'm 53 going on 54, and yeah, middle age, you start thinking about mortality, you know. And
but your pop's still living, right?
Yeah, you know, after stroke about a year and a half ago, he's still doing good. His mind's all there. And
yeah,
but he
right.
just dreams about climbing mountains and sailing still, yeah. But that ain't going to happen.
You should have seen him reciting Robert's service over the holidays, man.
Yeah, I taped it. Huh?
Yeah,
we did this family gathering.
Why didn't you bring it to play on the show?
We no, got some
video.
The
dogs are barking. I'll
yeah, but you can take the audio.
We had everybody had their dogs
at this
big Thanksgiving party.
What do I got here? Not yet, but in hour two, I got a cat reading some poetry from Texas.
Right
Christopher Scroger. Yeah, we should play some music now because. That's about 20 minutes, it should be.
When the ti amo è come sfiorarti con un dito in alto, ma senza agguantarti mai. E se ti amo è come sfiorarti con un dito in alto, ma senza carezzarti mai. Non voglio ali per farmi arrivare a te. Basta un salto, ma so già non è per me. Mi hai detto esci dalla vita mia, ne sono uscito, ma forse un piede è ancora lì con te. È quasi amore per me, forse quasi amore per te, forse grigio buio più totale. È un caos frenetico, è il silenzio, sai, meglio fuggire via. Ricordo ancora le tue mani sopra la mia pelle squame, già trattata dentro il tuo sudore. Le nostre concussioni pronte ad esplorare dentro reciprocamente. Tra di noi un paradiso nell'inferno senza dei. Lo fisso nella mente il tuo stupore dentro gli occhi quando ero dentro te.
In alto, senza guardare.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Not For Fun by 2S4. And before that, that's a band from Italy. And before that, we heard How Long Till We Move On by Andy Scott. And then, I don't know where Andy's from. Can't remember. Shit. Sorry, Andy. Maybe Scotland. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm sorry, though. You can look that up. There's probably only one Andy Scott in the world, right? But thanks, Andy. And before that, we heard Manchild, and I know they're Italian. I think it's one cat, and he gets musicians around him. With Quasi Amore. You know Amore, right? D. Martin had a song.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hello.
Huh?
Yes.
The moon in the sky, yeah, like a big pizza pie, it's Amore.
Well, that'll be interesting for me.
D. Martini was his real name. He changed it.
Wow.
And, I told him about that. People would have to do that. All kinds of, from different lands in the U.S. change names. They were telling me, they have some experience with immigrants because they got people coming from Africa and Albania and escaping some heavy stuff, and they can kind of relate. I don't think the U.S. is the only people with the immigration story. And then we started off with Brother Lazarus by the Doozer. This cat's from England.
He needs a trade.
Now, we were talking about... we're on air, so let's try to be a radio thing. My trip to Italy, and then my upcoming trip to Japan. It's going to be cold in Tokyo. But you know what I found over there? I found the most east part on Honshu is a cape. And there's a lighthouse there called Inubosaki Todai. Inubosaki Todai. And it was built the same year as our Point Fermin one, 1874. Wow. So I'm going to take the train in Heiko-san on New Year's Day. Inu is barking. Inu is a dog. And Bo is barking, and Saki kind of a point. It's like a dog port or cliff, you know. And so they had sea lions, and they barked like dogs, so this is where they got the name. But what happened was, you know, when the open door thing, Mr. Perry went over there and said, you guys are open for business. Well, part of the treaty was, you're going to make it safe for the boats. So you're going to build some lighthouses. They didn't really have a tradition of that. They had some kind of lighthouse. They'd be in a fire
lantern
up in a castle or something. But they didn't really have traditional lighthouses. So they got some guy, I think he was from Scotland, named Burton. And he built like 24 of them or something. And they called him Burton's Children. He put these lighthouses all over Japan. Mm-hmm. And this is one of them. And he obviously built it good. It's one of these round ones. It's there. Ours is on a cliff, so it's more like a house, right? Mm-hmm. But he also got together a system of lighthouse keepers. You know, because Europe had a tradition going way back. You know, brought it over to there. U.S. too. But... some of our first lighthouse keepers at Point Fermin were women. You know about that? Uh-uh. Yeah. And there was no houses here. That place was like desolate. It was in the sticks. Mm. So, like, there's one story about, like, hey, you know, you take that job and you're going to die of loneliness and this kind of shit.
It was two sisters that manned our lighthouse here, right? And Wilmington was the other side of the world at that time because before they had...
That's what I'm saying. There was women. The first keepers were women. And it was kind of hard living.
Yeah.
Because you always dream about maybe wanting to be a lighthouse keeper because, like, fuck everybody.
Have you ever been to Cape May, New Jersey?
No.
They got a nice lighthouse there. My brother's ex-wife's parents had the summer house right underneath it. They weren't the keepers. You know, it was been shut down. But they got battlements. It's a lot like
Pedro. It's probably automated.
It's a lot like Pedro, but I mean, gingerbread houses and saltwater taffy, you know. It's good Jersey Shore, you know.
But it's probably automated. It still has a beacon, no?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's functioning anymore.
I think most of them are
it's decommissioned, automated. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But still, there's a light going on. Yeah. The Fermin one, what happened was the Army built their own light.
I think there's one
beacon.
Supersedes
it's
in
a
now.
House
yeah,
right
yeah.
there. But it actually is a house. Mm. Right there on the closer to the cliff.
Yeah.
It's kind of house bunker. Mm-hmm. And there's a beacon there. And that thing goes. But they took the light out of the... If you look at the top of the
same,
point
same at Angel's Gate, same as here. It's just
Angel's
very
Gate
minimal
has a light.
Yeah.
It's automated. You know, it was manned until the 70s.
Yeah. You know, the L.A. Yacht Club's lobbying the harbor to get it restored, like $2 million.
It got hit by a battleship or something?
Restore the sunken city, man. Come
you
on. Where's your priority?
That lighthouse resort. I sail by it all the time.
You know that. That's it got true. Hit by a battleship. That's how strong they built that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It took true. A bunch of storms.
Yeah.
I think 1911?
Yeah, it's probably like 5 feet thick.
And, She took blows, but she still got a light. Furman ain't got a light. The light is actually at the Army thing, because when the Second War came.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the same with the one on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm somebody hoping they approved the funds to get that thing.
They didn't really need it high, because it was already sitting on a cliff. You know what I'm saying? You didn't have to make a structure like a big cock.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they're all different.
Couldn't compensate so well.
No, you fit the situation, right? And this is what the Burton did. They're not all the same. But this one I'm going to go to, it's kind of like the stereotype, the big...
Yeah. Did he use traditional, like, English architecture? Whoa! Or go to the Japanese aesthetic? I wonder.
No.
It looked like Victorian.
Victorian, and were lighthouses.
Yeah, that's that era.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That'd be interesting.
Circumcised.
You know what? When you go up the Pacific Coast Highway, there's a couple up there. The one by Carmel and shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The big tall.
Or into the Point Reyes one, which is out on that old little island by itself. One of them's just sitting on a rock up there.
Yeah.
In Northern
also,
California.
There were some light ships.
There's a
people use
up
light
there.
Ships. Yeah. And California. We're at the end of the first hour, but a light ship was very dangerous because some of them didn't have motors.
Yeah.
So you could not get out of the way.
Very dangerous. Station identification.
So we're at the end of the Watt from Peebler Show first hour, December 20, 2009, birthday edition. Hold tight for hour two. December 20th, 2009. It's the second hour of the Watt from Peebler Show.
Warbled nodes are fact, unbent by chains or hairy winds. The lids louver a lot over irises. Blue, they blew out their light. With underhands, I mean up-tempo and unafraid of the flip. Scared coins fell onto sideways measure, with makeup not seen round these here parts. Floating with the current of rose and chocolate. I bet you gather less and less. Worms is all they get sometimes. Wet cars roll out of my ears in large, dark, hard, dark lines of tweak. Can't hardly smell the world anymore. Whistle cream and bee farts are all we are. No desserts by turn birds for you. Rocks leave my swarming hands. Launching fusillades at their feathers. By terrible touch, minds are split. Whence came the shrill horns, mother? My lather rather resembles you, dear. Why do you cry out like forces uncut? Ladles of crumbled soup daunts even Dali. Who'd have thunk of that mustache? Upper lip hairs that it paint better in green, but twirl like wax bowlers instead, jigging at the local mart for harp tunes. Doors always fly open for the drunks. Did you even know she was there? It's fairly dawn by the time we get to go in there. Chilly escapades of milk tins and dust, getting hit from all sides by the immigrant witch. Cackling foam girds the limelight, while echoes of any response gets dodgier at best. Try driving that one through the bank, senor. My mouse cantilevers hog piles from the wild ones. Then maybe, just maybe, you'll get your bacon fat for free. You may even see it coming off the sun. Were it not for their dark hold knife, cornering the visual market, then gone by dawn, their creed, a need for speed indeed, covers the little children with word cloth. Then we'll all get wealthy and tight. Maybe I'll become your knight, your light. We won't tell you that the internet's mesh is cracked. It makes me fall flat on my back. Mama, I can't send no email to my home, to my home. ¿Dónde está el Día de los Muertos? Entonces, ellos hacen la comida de sus almas. Outside, the grass whispers to one another. Without guile, Flob flinched forward as atoms and deranged flies flitted at light speed past and through his melancholy cranium. This only sparked intense orange spasms of creativity and divinely unfettered bliss as the waiter, wraith-like, delivered his appetizer, a crisp and fertile calavera ensalada. Winking flirtatiously under the vinaigrette, such that Flob's first taste effervesced into fluttering endless depictions of himself reproduced upon the capers. What? No croutons, he cried.
For trade, below it's all free. Burning seas and liquid men, prowling crowds cruelly stab. Struck by preacher's pen, above it all is Captain Crab. Send the bright needle down. Dirty winding sheet. Enjoy eternal bliss. Rocks tied to your feet. Bloody seas and curdled men. Laid out on a slab. Letters in red pen. Above it all is Captain Crab. Freshly polished brass, coiled rope snakes, broken men of glass, compass drunk shakes, wandering seas and leather men, crippled mind will grab, charted without a pen, above it all is Captain Crab. Idols preaching hate, eyes milky light. Davy Jones won't wait. Choke on birth night. Blackened seas and sunken men, light broken in trap. Ships silent like this pen. Above it all is Captain Crab. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Moose Pullers, a poem by Christopher Scroger. And you've got to get your pop reading some poems there, Skipper Jeff.
The Cremation of Sam McGee by Robert W. Service. He recited that almost completely by memory for my Thanksgiving visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you got a recording of it, though, so
yeah.
You bring it on the show. You know, somebody gave me that once on tour. It's Masonic.
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 Then we heard Good Cap, My Captain Crab. I think Pete Maisich might be playing on that. Hmm. I know Fabian is for sure. And, of course, the Good Captain Crab came to the gig at, where was it? Redwood Bar and Grill. And he talks to Pete after the gig. What is this? You get up there, you just start playing all wild and crazy. I mean, what is this? Pete's like, it's what I'm doing. I thought Pete did pretty good. Some music people come from different traditions.
Yeah, he rocks.
Yeah. What is this? You get up there. He was. Last night he was wailing on it.
Yeah.
He blew out his Leslie at the gig before that thing in Mar Vista.
He was singing great.
And he went. I said, that's why you always bring both of them. Yeah, you know.
I saw him pushing it down the street with his.
But what he did was, since the gig was in Pedro, he just drove up to Patton in 26 and got it
down there.
That one don't have a Grateful Dead sticker on
it. Yeah, I was giving him ribs about that. Of course, I'm the, 100 odd shows.
I think he bought it with it on there.
Oh, come on.
Good karma. Don't take it
off,
man.
We heard Christmas Ballad by Celia Barone. She's a saxophone player for Germany. And then Gazing at the Moon. That's, those cats are from Japan. And finally, Sleeper Man, a song by the Uptights. And Uptights are from Hawaii. I'd love to get an e-message from people that said, why don't you get a gig over here in Hawaii? I said, yeah, come on.
Hook it up.
I've done it a few times, three times. I love playing there. But they're seen,
Are they uptight?
They're not next to any other state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be going there.
When they build that freeway,
there's no passing through.
You're playing there.
You're there.
I think.
I'd like to see you play at Catalina Island a little closer.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I've never played there. But I've played Hawaii three times. But anyway, the Uptights are playing there in Hawaii and all these lands. You know, if they got a band, there must be a gig, right?
Yeah.
Unless they're doing it out the bedroom. That's okay, too. They were doing,
Shit, Jeff, it took us 20 years to get out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
Not in that way.
But now, time for Brother Matt to spin something. It's been a long absence, so I've been Jones.
Here you
cool.
Brother Matt,
here we
bring
go.
It out.
I worship the sun. Thank you.
your driver's license, please? May I see your driver's license, please? What's that in your cassette deck?
Shit.
very much, Brother Matt.
Cool.
What was today's inspiration?
We start with a little panty raid.
Panty raid?
Yeah, and then kind of got into that Indian groove, and then and we just kind of went from there.
Right
on. A little birthday vibe.
Go imagine that.
Bought from Pedro Show. We just heard She Crashed My Car by the Good Apples. You never met Stanislav Zavich, did you? No, he ain't been to Pedro. But he lives in Cleveland now. He's got him and his sister I met in, actually in Vienna, because there was heavy stuff was happening in former Yugoslavia. And now Snez has a band called Good Apples, and this is their new band. So they both live, Snez's sister, Stanislav, my brother, they both live in U.S. now. And before that, we heard an untitled theme to a scream by the Hummingbird Mimes. That's a name. I can't remember where they're from.
Hummingbird Mimes.
Oh. Yeah. Look. That's a trip. That's a trip. Good music there, though. And before that, we heard Decide on a Direction by Al May. We know Al May.
Oh, I love her, that's, man. She's great.
The band name she uses for...
Yeah, Laura.
Lara.
Yeah.
No, it's Lara.
Lara, excuse me.
No, it's like L-A-R-A, right?
Like Lara Logan.
Like Lara. And she does have the Australian accent, yeah, though.
She's awesome. Thanks for turning me on.
Meyer Lansky. Meyer Rock. What's the name? Does it have her name on there?
Not on there.
Yeah, she's got a trippy name right there.
It's easier.
But El May, yeah, because I think her middle name.
Yeah, I think that's the way May, the story works.
And then the first letter of her name is the letter L.
Yeah.
But she uses the.
She's a real talent.
Meyer Retkin.
Meyer Retkin.
Yeah.
So what do you call them things?
Australian redhead.
Those and those things. Conjunctives?
Article would be the...
Article.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Keep me searching.
Conjunctives like a
article.
But.
Yeah, but.
But. Yeah. So this is an article. So she uses the Espanol article, L, E-L,
mm-hmm.
for, yeah, clever name.
Yeah.
And before that, we heard Russian Lullaby by Piquetitos.
Careful. Little ones.
Yeah, right.
Little ones.
We're at the end of the second hour of December 20, 2009. Rob from Pedro Show, birthday edition. I stumble into 52. Hang tight for hour 3. December 20, 2009. It's the third hour of the Rob from Pedro Show.
She stirs with found the Soviet Union maintaining an impressive lead over the United States in manned orbital flights. During a 24-hour period in mid-August, the Soviets placed two men into similar orbits, so similar, in fact, that they were able to see each other. The first of the space twins to go into orbit was Andrian Nikolaev in Vostok 3. This is what he sounded like as he reported back to Earth. Just over 23 hours later, Pavel Popovich in Vostok 4 was placed in an orbit that brought him within sight of Nikolaev. These two men traveled millions of miles in space concurrently and spent a total of more than 160 hours in space. Despite the Soviet achievement, President Kennedy, in an address delivered at Houston's Rice Stadium, said,
"No nation which expects to be the leader of other nations can expect to stay behind in this race for space. And this generation does not intend the founder and the backwash of the coming age of space. We mean to be a part of it. We mean to lead it."
Then the president charted the free world's first goal in space.
"We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon."
Earlier in the year, after repeated delays, the United States launched its first astronaut into orbit.
5, 4, 3, ignition. 2, 1, 0, ignition. Liftoff.
MA-6, launch. Vehicle streams high into the sky with all 5 inches.
Colonel John Glenn, a 40-year-old Marine pilot, rode his Mercury capsule 3 times around the Earth. As soon as he entered orbit, Glenn commented on weightlessness and the view.
"Below G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous. Roger, turn around and start it. Capsule turning around, and I could see the booster doing turnaround just a couple of 100 yards behind me. It was beautiful. Suspension 7, I can see clear back a big cloud pattern way back across towards the Cape. Beautiful sight."
3 months later, astronaut Malcolm Carpenter duplicated Glenn's flight, although his recovery was complicated by his overshooting the landing spot by some 250 miles. Then in October, Commander Walter Schirra took his Mercury capsule on a 6-orbit flight around the world. On his return, he summed up his flight this way.
"Your flight, I thought, excellent flight. We had some
Next spring, Gordon Cooper will take a 24-hour journey through space. Despite the Soviet lead, National Aeronautics and Space Administration Chief James Webb maintained,
"My own belief is that the bringing to bear through the resources that the government is applying, the utilization of those resources to mobilize industry will give us a position satisfactory to the United States."
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Cigarettes and Alcohol in Hell by The Boy. And this cat is in, I think, Tokyo, Japan. And then we heard Late Night by Posin' Nude. They're a U.S. band.
Cool.
I think St. Louis. A duo, of course. And then we heard something from England. No, maybe Scotland.
Oh,
that's a bad mistake.
Now, where was Scotland?
It's called Eternally Dumb, and the band's Streets of Rage, but I'm eternally dumb for not knowing for sure.
They're Welsh. Fuck.
No. I'm sorry, though. I apologize. And then we heard something from Joshua Tree. That's still part of the U.S., I think. Pull Anchor with Tank 2. And then we ended up with a band called Defaced. This cat told me, look, Watt, I don't know if you ever play ambient music, but here's some ambient music. I play ambient music, right? Or whatever.
Yoko Ono.
That's trippy that people are worried about the genre.
Yeah.
You know? Especially if they heard my show. It's like, you know, it's called music. It don't matter where the fuck you put the notes or the rhythms or the melodies. That's to suit your own personal view. Mm. And I'm just looking for
tunes.
Right. They're interesting, right? Yeah. Get off on. So don't worry. And this song was called C, the letter, because they're called Defaced. So they got an album, which each song...
The letter.
And so I was looking... All of them are doubled up.
Mm.
So there's one D and another D. The only ones that weren't was F and C. Right?
Trippy.
Yeah. So I guess the first E or the second E. So I didn't know. Anyway, that's good stuff.
Double D.
And, again, if you people weren't told by me before, it's my birthday, and I'm turning, as of today, 53.
I have to put a small bonfire on that cake.
No, I haven't had any cake. I had a good chow. My ma cooked for me this morning with my sister, like the usual Sunday morning. It is Sunday. So she didn't have to get out of the way for that. And it was egg with spinach and mushroom. And then sourdough toast and a couple pieces of bacon. The eggs were scrambled that the spinach and the mushrooms were put in. And then she pulls out these... She asked me to come over later after the pedaling, because I like to pedal right after that load up. It's the only time I eat bacon and eggs and shit. It's on the Sunday morning. Child's
quarantine going.
So I come back from the pedaling, and I'm like, Wyatt, come on over. I got some sacks here, you know, and four pair of Levi's and two flannels and a hoodie. I kind of gave the hoodie back. Because she's given me like 30 jackets. I got three yellow ones. I mean, you know. And I said, Ma, some of these things never even wore once, you know. And a hoodie got on a 52-year-old man maybe ain't so happy.
Yeah.
You know,
you're holding your pistol wrong in no
time.
It's
like me wearing a miniskirt. I mean, even if I was younger, that might have been weird.
My mom likes to try to put me in outfits, you know.
Outfits.
Matching, yeah.
Well, maybe she's thinking this. Maybe it goes with the Levi. But I got a bunch of socks that were cool. Of course, I had to try them on.
I know it's socks.
I could.
She made
it. And then chonies. That's weird. But
that's what mothers are for, man.
Yeah.
She's impressed,
I guess. They gray ones, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Loves you, man.
Black ones are better. I think it's kind of weird. But I don't care. I love her.
She wants
She's going to have a surgery on her eyes. She got cataracts.
Mm, yeah.
She's 74 now. Still working. So she's going to have to... She said it was getting hard to read and stuff. And these things. But Thurston had it. And in his 40s, you know. Yeah, it runs in families and stuff.
Do a laser treatment on her?
No, they have to go in there and put new lenses and shit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe get pressure. She says there's going to be a couple things done. They're going to get pressure off. It's like a kind of glaucoma, right? The pressure builds up in there. Anyway, she's going to have that, and that was a nice thing from my mom. In fact, I'm wearing a flannel now.
Yeah, and it's a nice one, Mike.
It's trippy. It's got a flannel on the inside. And no one sees the secret. Not really, but it seems like it could be.
The inside pattern is the real lumberjack.
This is a big-ass tag. Maybe. It's kind of weird. Red with the... What is this, teal?
You sure Ma didn't give him no footed PJs in flannel?
No.
Oh, no. Man, I used to walk in the toilet in those. They were the greatest.
No, I never wore pajamas.
You still sleep on the deck, too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have so many Levi's. Now four more. Wow, I must have 30. You know, I have two black ones, two pairs of black ones. Yeah. Zig asked me to wear black flannel. He said I could wear that for gigs. I wore it in Sao Paulo. And Nicholson told me they got black Levi's.
They're great.
That are like this.
When they wear,
but they're just black.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, I never wore black clothes. You know what I wore at the last two gigs was jacket I found in the closet that Raymond gave me like 20 years ago.
It made you black. In fact,
I put it.
That's right.
No, I think that's
crazy. You Gabardine that broke your spirit,
you know,
man.
You keep saying that, Todd, but
I mean, no, when you walked out, I yelled at...
so wrong. And then Elvis Costello and shit like this. But you guys, you're talking from, you know, maybe your own experience, because this jacket is a lot of punk shows with me and Raymond, not Elvis Costello.
Yeah. I'm thinking more Tom Waits.
I wore a lot of jackets like that in the 80s, man, the early 80s.
I love it. Well, it was one of his. Jacket, it wasn't one of mine.
Well, here he is. Good-looking jacket, man.
It looked kind of weird. But I thought it would have good luck. And get this, there was a paper in there. And it was Chalo's, the guy who played drums for Los Plugs, huh?
Wow.
The number, his phone number was in there. I had so long ago from years. Yeah, that was a trip.
Didn't they back up Dylan once?
The Plugs?
Los Plugs. They backed up Dylan.
I don't know, they were a punk band in our scene. And they had one of the first albums. It was called Electrify Me.
Yeah.
Tito's got a band now called Tarantula. I saw him at the airport. He just got back from Moscow.
I think my friend John Curry was in the Plugs for a little while.
The first bass player was Barry McBride.
Yeah.
Texas guy, I think. And Chalo ended up playing with the Social Distortion and Soul Asylum and stuff like that.
Social D, man.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And to wear a coat like that, I hadn't played, so it's kind of binding up in the arms a little bit. But Raymond came to the gig Friday
cool.
with the disco lights and all that spinning.
Cool.
What a place.
Yeah.
Wow. But, and we got to play after Sacco and Trust. God, the sound was bad for them. I told Joe Baez, I said, they got it. People got to know what you're playing, man. You're the man.
So is he going to be coming down?
You're the man. We got to have him on the show, huh? Yeah. The surgery is successful. He's playing like a motherfucker. So good.
Yeah, that guy's got some cool stories.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of punk rockers out of Wilmington.
Mm-hmm. There's a Wilmington everywhere, you know.
Yeah, I think
Delaware,
that's what they're named after. Phineas Banning was from that town.
Yeah.
Delaware?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he named the town after where he was from. And he actually built the harbor. He is the beginning of L.A. Harbor. Let's play some music.
Crawling through the wasteland of my life, children to keep it from my strife. I was alone, so far from home. I had to reach down deep to keep my hope alive. So alone, so alone, so alone, so alone. I saw her dancing in the limelight in the wave. I tried to spend some time, but she sent me away. I was alone, so far from home. I had to reach down deep to keep my hope alive. So alone, so alone, so alone. So alone, so alone, so alone. I gave her all I had and still she wanted more. I stared into her eyes and she stared out the door. I was alone, so far from home. I had to reach out to keep my hope alive. So alone, so alone, so alone.
Yeah.
other day, and she said, I say bye-bye, she thinks I want to get. And she said,
thank you.
Hey, you can be eloquent now. We're going to be on the air.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's see. You just heard. Now, I'll go the other way because you guys are near the end. We start off with Jay Maskus' brother, Mike Maskus. He's got a band called The Warblers. He's a lawyer, but he likes to be like Jay. Or Jay likes to be like him, maybe. And with So Alone, The Warblers out of Massachusetts. And then Beat by the Bloodflowers. I think they're SoCal. I think so. And then Schooner with Vermilion. It's a French word, huh?
Red.
It's a kind of like orange
deep red.
Red.
Yeah. Watermelon. I'm always thinking
it's
watermelon.
Vermilion meat. Yeah. Yeah.
The inside of a watermelon. It's
Crayola box.
Yeah, I know it from the Crayolas. Mm-hmm. Me and the Smothers Brothers were smoking them that day.
But you know, with the two L's, the French would be like Vermilion. So. And that was Schooner, their band from Ontario, Canada. Toronto, I think. And I might be wrong. So fucked up. I just want to tell people that music comes from all over. That's why I mentioned all these things. And if I'm wrong, I dearly apologize. But the idea that music comes from everywhere, and not just Pedro, not just Hollywood. Okay. Sun Sun, a band from Serbia, did Outshined. And then we heard Rich Did Something Bad by Urchin Heads. Followed by East L.A. band The Dharma Bums, something brand new from them, Dharma Dub Styly. An East L.A. band called themselves Dharma Bums. They told me about their journey, too, City Lights books. Oh, and, cool. Yeah, and these are young Latin guys. Yeah. It was wild. And so there's some dub. But before I played them, I did play Urchin Head. So this we want to get the lowdown here from... two urchin heads with us now.
I've been called Mr.
Todd, Mr. Skipper Jeff.
Yeah.
Skipper Jeff.
We've been just good friends. Todd's probably takes it a lot farther, and we've been jamming. Started out in El Monte area, San Gabriel Valley friends.
El Monte Hall, to be specific.
Yeah, but Todd goes way back. He was jamming with these guys back in high school, and I kind of weaseled my way in there.
Question, how does inland dudes get a name about the sea?
Ask Todd.
Oh, I was a snorkeler and stuff, but actually Kenny Kawamoto, who was our rhythm player for years when we started out, and he's got this big moon face and these great eyebrows.
Japanese.
From Japanese descent, and just this dry sense of humor and a voice like Jimmy Stewart, man. He doesn't stutter, but he talks. You guys are effing hippies, man. You know, give me a cheeseburger. And
the variation
he's just,
looking.
He moved away, and for 10 years we were all talking like it. You know,
he's very quotable.
Where's he now?
Very, very quotable. He's in, back in
Delaware.
Delaware, yeah. Anyhow, we sat down after a smoke-filled, you know, patio jam at Gary McCarthy's up in Altadena. Clutch McCargo, he's the other founder. We just snapped a picture, and Kenny was sitting underneath this swag lamp with one of the big urchin without the spines-shaped swag lamps, cloth,
wire
and he was playing this flute that a friend brought me from India. Might have been from Akron, I don't know. But it was just like this swami thing. And
we just, well, it looked came like out. A huge urchin on
yes,
his head.
Yes, urchin head.
Yeah.
And we realized the irony.
Just the way the photo was
don't have
composed.
Heads, you know.
This lamp on
the
his
puns
head.
Kept coming.
Yeah. And they had to come up with some kind of name.
And then the music, the direction.
It just stuck. You know?
Like this tune here.
That was...
Freeform.
We were kind of getting into a freeform thing. Rich Castillo, a great bass player, was in Mind Over Four. And he kicked him out. He basically lived off me with Marlboros and Top Ramen for a year or two. You know,
before
lived around the corner in El Monte. Anyway, he's getting that popping thing going. There might be two bass tracks on there. I'm not sure.
He's from El Monte. James Elroy.
Yeah.
Right. I just got his new. This was the weird thing. Zappa, I got that book for my mom. My mom's birthday, December 9th. Yeah, but somebody with cataract, the book thing ain't too happening.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, anyhow, the jam just kind of, you know, we like to improvise. On the spot, we write things we never repeat most of the time.
And he just laid down this groove.
That's why it's good to record.
And I've been influenced by, you know, like some Zappa-ass talking head type of rhythms, kind of world music thing there. And so that kind of touch wah guitar thing came in. And we just let him run, and he was talking about the Samuel Jackson character in his super suit in one of these cartoon movies.
Yeah.
And we just got into super groove. And
yeah.
I was supposed to answer back, actually. He'd go, and I sent this woman, and I said, and I'm supposed to throw in like a Ruby Keeler voice or something, you know. But we never did that. We just liked the way it was.
Is this a recording band, or did you do gigs?
We did the Doodah Parade in Pasadena a couple times. We did a lot of backyard beer busts. Basically, it was people throwing out the rules, you know, shits and giggles for ourselves, you know.
How'd you do that? How was the power? Was it all acoustic?
We did it the first year. The
first year we had a theme. We joined forces, which was called the Marching Leech.
No, he's talking about that track.
No, he's saying how do we?
Yeah, how'd you do?
How do we amplify the parade? Is what he was asking.
The parade.
So we
go ahead.
Were you actually marching?
Tell it to you.
Tell him.
We joined forces with this group called the Marching Leech Kazoo Band, and that was loosely based on the African Queen. We built an African Queen float, and we used
it just had his birthday.
We used a 500-watt generator with about five practice amplifiers, okay?
And we were the first band to actually...
And we had a drum kit bolted down on this trailer that had to be pushed because they didn't allow motorized vehicles in the parade.
But you could have a motor driving the
But
generator.
The thing is, whoever got on the guitar first, whoever played the first note, they'd steal the power from the generator from everybody else. Just like when you were on the rocket boat, we were towed by these leeches. Finley created these huge latex leech masks with these sucker faces, and they had teeth coming out. And the leeches played kazoos, and they towed the African Queen float. And we were on it. I was wearing a skirt. I got a lot of trouble for that. I got a call from Central Casting. They saw me on the parade, and they found me. Somebody knew me.
How tall?
They wanted to see if I'd play harmonica for something. Then they wanted to know if I read music. And I'm like, no, man. I'm just screwing around there. This is a Doodah Parade.
Doodah Parade's all big time. It's on the TV.
We got TV exposure.
You're on Bogart, man. The thing is, we had like a 14-foot bogey.
That was years later, though.
We also had the pregnant Hepburn nun.
And, so a lot of this band works doodah. It's invested in this doodah.
We had one year a theme was called Guitar Army, where we did the same thing, but we sculpted this huge amplifier, and I have two good friends that are great artists, illustrators. One guy, J.T. Steiny, and the other, Terry Robinson. Anyway, they were like the guy who really had the ideas behind this stuff was Gary McCarthy. Really, we construct the floats in his backyard, and we built this huge amplifier. You know, we had to cover it all with black visqueen, but they illustrated the big speakers and everything. We stuffed all the practice amps and the generator in there, and we towed it. We had a microphone that was like 30 feet high with these girls in miniskirts pushing it, And everybody was dressed in military fatigues, and then we had just extra people without real guitars. We made facade guitars, you know, just
close.
We just got there with
everything.
A jigsaw and some plywood, and we made all these weird shaped guitars, and we tried to do drill team routines, you know, Guitar Army present arms,
BOCs, you know, sword fights.
Sword fight, I'll tell you, people tell me at this club we played Friday that they had y'all pissed in the same thing and not one at a time. He had kind of an incident. Like, the dude said sword fight. You're going to have to, like, if he finished before him or Pete finished before one of them, I don't know, there were some weird conditions on this kind of getting the piss out of you. And the guy, he mentioned sword fight.
That's crossing piss streams.
Well, you see where this guy's coming from.
We were riding together on the way home. Yeah, but okay.
So how long has the band been in action?
Urchin Heads have been coming in and out the door. Gary and I started playing as the Kennerly Kennel Club. You know, and he was kind of a latchkey high schooler. We'd go home and eat the white cheese out of the fridge and record on a little home TAC.
Was that Urchin Heads?
That, no, but that was the birth.
Okay, how long has Urchin Heads been?
Urchin Heads started probably early 80s.
I met you in like 83, I think it was.
Yeah, but we were already calling ourselves.
But you were guys
26
were already,
years.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just played for fun. We didn't seek out gigs or
but
anything.
But
that's
doing
we did a lot of backyard parties.
Cut out guitar shapes.
As you can tell, I mean, tongue firmly in cheek, you know.
Yeah, but come on.
Got some good play. That was a
you
great
were talking music. Frank Zappa. There's some of his music that's like well, that.
Yeah, but I don't know how to write it
we
down.
We cover one of his songs.
Right? Help, I'm a Rock and shit like this.
I just love it. I just love it. Yeah.
You know what?
It's
you
art to
be,
me.
You can be comic and
it's art to me.
Still music.
Exactly.
We cover a Zappa song.
But, you know, our mixture was some
well, Yankovic, right? Weird Al has been making... Yeah. What's he's got some established thing now, right?
Yep.
Oh.
What is it, Disneyland or some shit?
Oh, really?
I don't know.
He's got some, like, there's a Weird Al ride or something.
Dollywood.
Theme park.
Isn't for it.
Bollywood. Bollywood. I don't know. But, I mean, humor doesn't have to mean
yeah, what's that?
Shit ain't yeah. Real.
Yeah, that's right? What we came to believe after we stopped laughing.
Yeah. We had some songs that bordered, like, nursery rhyme, like Poop Jelly. You know,
that's a big hit.
You know, and we had to just, you know, it was, oh God, it's hard to describe, but it was just
an ongoing experiment.
For a long time there, we'd get together almost every weekend for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, it was Thursday night for
debauchery, you know, and we'd make noise, and we'd stay up for hours, and yeah, I started out.
So what about future plans?
With something key about it.
We're splintered now.
Yeah,
people have got married, have kids.
There's internet.
We got bass drummer lives in North Carolina.
Remember Dan?
Yeah. We're going to be working.
I know the instructors. He just gave me a track. They did poem over. He wants me to put bass on it. I don't live in Cleveland.
Yeah. Hey, you live in
the weather right now. That's where Maskovich lives.
Todd's got his own project right now.
Yeah,
you know, I got a career as a graphic designer, so it's not a, you know.
Yeah, I've been working 2 years on a CD with a band called Watch out of Glendora.
But it's all supposed to be for fun. I don't see the point here.
the point is we're still doing. We did some recording yesterday, and we jammed into the wee hours of the morning last night after we saw you.
No,
so
these are the future plans.
No, that is fairly recent, the one you've got, and that's from Skipper Jeff's pad or on Cabrillo.
The plan is if it happens,
I think
it happens.
The point I'm trying to make, I think people get, I mean, everybody's free to choose this if they want, but they can see, you know, the real music is what? The shit coming out of the mall?
Nope.
When you're shopping for,
you don't hear Captain Beefheart there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What is real music? What is for fun music? What is.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy was about joy when he was wailing on that guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
what I want to say is what you guys do, in my opinion, is legitimate.
Yeah.
And don't put it underneath maybe.
You know what? I was always
Slash
proud.
Guy or whatever.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was always proud of being underground and below the radar. You know?
Yeah. We have masses of tapes. We would just use boom boxes, home stereos, just to record.
So what about
everything.
Setting up a website and let people listen?
Yeah,
to this?
Well, you need to get a lot of that digitized. But I'm telling you, between the two of us, we're hundreds of cassette tapes, four tracks. You know, just straight into the stereo stuff. But
a
then,
lot of condenser mics.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, no, set the boombox up, maybe hang a couple
of things. But still, to mass that much material, there was a little work involved.
It went really fast or it went really slow.
Yeah.
But it went.
But the players are splintered. Our drummer is actually in North Carolina, and he's building a music studio there.
We got to have
a
back
real
to Graziano.
Nice piece of place, and hopefully we'll get back there and reunite. We had a little reunion. Three of us got together when Todd's played a high school reunion / 50th birthday backyard party this year out in Laverne, and so we did three or four songs together with Todd's band members.
Yeah, this guy had the 50th, man. I've known him since preschool. You know, they're saying, well, St. Mary had a little lamb. I'm going, she loves you, yeah, you know.
So, like, the music's kind of a
More splinters.
My dad played of that kind of.
Our bass players in Ohio, like, yeah, you're saying you can get on Craigslist and find people. Yeah. But
no, you can find these guys through the internet.
Oh, then we're
all
trading
the tracks around.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're
That's what
saying.
I'm saying. Like what I'm doing for Dan McGuire.
Yeah.
He's already got the track, and I'm going to play bass to it, and I'll send him the bass.
Yeah.
We're many miles apart, but we can still come together through
that's
music.
That's a good idea. Well, that guy that's building the
and
studio,
this is what you can do.
He's totally high-tech, and, yeah, well, I want to get out
Shit,
there.
Shit, you do it with GarageBand, it comes free on a Mac.
And that's what this was
Between you and
with,
Brad, okay. My brother should send you stuff from the porch shops back east, and we should layer some stuff.
Anyway, on. You know, I like this O-word, opportunity, and not the D-word, bird. Yeah. What's real, what's for fun, what's for fake, what's, don't worry.
Hey man, I'm going to have to eat my golden years.
I want
to
get all high and mighty about that. Maybe it's me turning 52 today. And being all
cocky.
I like
uppity, to make
yeah.
I like to make
a little
uppity
there.
I love, you know?
But I want to
You're
let
being
you know
cocky
okay.
and Todd's being cute.
You said you jammed after seeing me play last night.
Yeah.
Well, let's extend that. If I can tell you, bring on the urchin head. Bring it on. I'll play some more next show, too. We're at the end
Sweet.
Of the December 20, 2009, Juan from Pedro,
right.
Birthday Boy Edition.
Happy birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Well, man, so much for you. Aiden and Abedin, cool. And we got to thank our guests, Todd, cool. Skipper Jeff, coming aboard and finding out Doodah Parade bands mean something. Okay? And everybody out there, I think we'll do another show soon. We're going to try to bring Miss Peek aboard live in real time from Bangkok.
Skype. Cool. Yeah, man.
Okay? So keep your powder dry.